Well, we're going this morning back over talking about faith again, dealing with what is faith. And there's just so many over the past, these weeks, as weeks go by, the Lord just keeps speaking to me of different things about concerning the areas of faith. Because, you get over in your own mind and you think, oh, my bed, this is so long, maybe people get worn out. But God's not thinking in that matter. There's things that need to be being said over and over again to get us till we can put it into practice. I think about when I started off, how many times I had to hear things and get it into me and practice it till I finally got good at it. You could do it. And it's anything that way in life. You don't get good at something doing it one time. It takes time and practice. And that's what we want to do, is continue our practice in the Word of God, going over and over. I think about this, Kenneth Hagin, in his last meetings that he held before he went home to be with Jesus, he was up in Canada. And I have those meetings. I have what he spoke on. And he taught, he did morning sessions and then did evening sessions. And his morning sessions, he taught on faith. And what he taught on faith is the same thing that he taught 50 years ago. I have some of his old stuff. Identical verses. The same, illustrations. He talked the same thing again. He was like God. He changes not, this is one of the things that I think a lot of Christians have a hard time about the Bible today. A lot of Christianity, they got into the world system and they want everything new all the time, and they don't like reading the same stuff over and over again in the Bible. I take great delight of reading it over and over and over and over again. This week I've just felt in my heart, I've been just reading through the book of Romans, and I've just been reading Romans over and over and over again. I'm just reading it over. And it's amazing. I go back and I start over again on it to read it, and I think there's just things that speak to me that didn't speak to me the first time around that start speaking. And it's like, I tell you, the Word of God is alive. And so you want to keep it alive. Don't get over in the flesh like everybody, most of society is doing today. People are over in the flesh about things. Don't get in the flesh. Stay in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you'll be blessed. Now, we were teaching last week. We ended in teaching about the measure of faith, that every believer has a measure of faith, or you're not a believer. You need to understand that from a scriptural standpoint. It says in Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 3, it says, God has given to each one a measure of faith. When you got born again, you have a measure of faith. Every believer has faith, or they're not a believer. They're not. They're not born again. So everyone has it, but we need to understand about developing that measure of faith. And we develop because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. In other words, when somebody preached the Word, faith came to us, we got born again. And that measure of faith, the ability of God to believe the Word of God, that comes from God. The Bible says that, considering what faith is the gift of God. It is a gift that God gives. Most people say, well, grace is a gift. Well, how did you get it? Through the gift of faith. If faith hadn't come to you, you couldn't have gotten a hold of grace. Grace you take a hold of always by faith. It never comes in any other way. It never comes in any other fashion or any other form. It always comes by faith. So you believe the Word of God. So get yourself in your mind and thinking about, I have faith. Now, there's some with myself, there's areas that I have developed more in faith than I have in others. That's just part of growing up, It's the same way children growing up. There's certain things they taught, they develop more in certain areas, and they get older, they have areas that they haven't developed, they need to develop in those areas. Well, we are the same way spiritually. There's things that we need to develop more and more in. And so, I always stick with the basics as number one. If you don't stay in tune and develop in the basics, you go on to more, something else, and you leave the basics alone. After a while, you won't be doing well in what you're doing. That's what's happened in the church world. Everybody went on to other things and they left the basics. They quit, I know this or I know that. Well, get over it, There's no physicist who sits down and says, adding and subtracting, I know. You don't need to know anything about that anymore, Is it a mathematician? No, I don't need to know about adding and subtracting anymore. I'm just so smart, I don't need to know that anymore. Well, yes, you do, because if you don't understand that and keep that going, you ain't going to be doing the rest of it, because all the rest of it work off of those things. And it's the same way with God's Word. Hallelujah. The Bible says God changes not. So if He don't change, then we should be like Him concerning the things and the principles of the Word of God. We shouldn't change concerning acting or doing the Word of God. Now, I want to talk this morning. The Holy Spirit's been dealing with me on this. We're going to go over back over to Mark, the 11th chapter. But we want to look at, we're going to deal with concerning the heart of man in concerning believing, because this is really an important area. We had talked about it some before, but there's some specific things I want to teach on. The Holy Spirit wants to get across to you. There's one thing that I learned when I first got born again in the teaching in Kenneth E. Hagin. I had gotten a series of his and also had a book on the human spirit, on spirit, soul, and body, dealing with the human who is, and we need to understand this as Christians, most of the church world only deals with the body and the soul of man. That's all they deal with. They never deal with the spirit of man. And now if you go out and you look at psychology, psychology never deals with the spirit of man, never. They always deal with soul, mental part of man and the body. That's what they deal with. And we need to understand, if you don't understand the spirit part of you, that's the internal part of you. That's the most important part of you. And when people talk about, well, you know, they can't get a hold of God and things like that, what they're telling you and saying, whether they realize it or not, I'm not in contact with the real me. I'm not in contact with my spirit. Because that's where the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you. He don't do it in your mind. He don't lead you and guide. You know, when people, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin and I found out it was true. He said when God moved in to get a hold of me in a spectacular way, he said he didn't do it because I was spiritual. He did it because mostly I was unspiritual at the time and he was trying to get a hold of me. See, most people think, boy, if you have this big supernatural experience, lots of times with God trying to direct you, He is trying to direct you on the inner man. I found out that many times of talking to people who, over the years, who have had problems and they've come and asked about certain things and things that went wrong in their life. And I've almost always found this out. They had a sense all the time to do something different on them, but they didn't. They, on the inside, see, they're inside, there was a witness on the inside about what was going on, but people weren't following it. They kept following what was going on the outside. They didn't listen on the inside. They paid no attention to it, yet they knew it was. I remember, and I learned this in Kenneth Hagin, I told a story, was teaching on how to be led by the Spirit. And he said a minister came to him after of teaching some sessions on this. And he talked about the fact, he said, I was in two major accidents. He said, one of them, my wife almost lost her life. And he said, the other ones, you know, we had really severe accidents in our car. And he said, but listen to your teaching. He said, now I know this. He said, I had a sense on both of those circumstances not to drive where I was going to drive to is not go there. But I did it anyhow. See, many times people don't listen on the inside. They're not paying any attention on the inside. They're not listening. He said, now that you talked about that, he said, inside of me, I had a sense. He said, the one who, I said, my wife and I were traveling, staying in a motel. And he said, I came out and he said, inside me, I had a sense, wait for 20 minutes. He said, if I would have waited for 20 minutes, I wouldn't have been in the accident I was in. But see, most people go the flesh. Well, no, I got to get it. I got to do this. They get over in the natural, bypassing what's going on in the inside. And you need to understand this. That happens because people mostly believe that they're a physical being and they're a mental being. Majority of Christians, I'd say this probably in very good accuracy, not criticizing anybody, but I would say this, that probably 99% of Christians are mostly fleshly and mental. That's the way they operate. Most Christians do. And you need to understand this is when the Lord spoke to me back when I first got born again, just as a baby Christian. In fact, it was in February of 1980. I was born again in January. And the Lord spoke to me and said to me in February, He said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. And then some 20 years later, He spoke to me and said, most of my people have amounted to nothing. Now, He wasn't talking about them being bad people or evil people or anything, but they don't listen to the Spirit of God. They can't. If you don't understand yourself and the Spirit being that you are, you can't be led by the Holy Spirit. You need to understand how the Holy Spirit guides you and what you are. And so we want to look at this. In Mark, the 11th chapter, Jesus speaking, and I figured, Jesus is definitely the authority here. So Jesus said in Mark the 11th chapter, he said in verse, one of the things in verse 22 we talked about where he said have faith in God or have the God kind of faith, we talked about that. Or in other words, we're having faith in God and we could say this, having faith in God's Word. That's where faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith always comes by words. Faith never comes by seeing miracles. Faith never comes by an experience. Faith always comes from the Word of God. See, your experience, I've known people have sat and watched miracles already but had no faith to believe for one from the self. They just knew God did miracles. You know, God goes in, like say, there's like an evangelist. They go out there and God, you may use them in an area. You know, I know Christopher Alam. God does wonderful miracles through him, through the crusades that he holds in these other countries and marvelous miracles. You know, he comes to the United States and it don't happen here. You know why? Because the Christians here have been taught the Bible and don't act on it, and God will not move for them. You need to understand that. He comes to the United States. He don't have the miracles that he has overseas. He goes to places over there, he ministers, and people have not heard the word like they hear here. Signs, wonders, and miracles take place in those. God does it. God does to get their attention. But they still have to come to faith. They still must come to faith. You know, they can't go to those meetings and see miracles and then turn around and then just don't have nothing to do with God and things are going to work out. God's going to hold them accountable, just like he'll hold you accountable for what I preach off this pulpit. You're accountable to it. Now, number one, I think that's a wonderful thing. I was so glad I was accountable to the words that were preached to me by Kenneth E. Hagin because they changed my life. I want to be accountable to them because they bless you. I don't understand some lazy Christian who don't want to be accountable to the Word of God and then turns around and wants something good to happen in their life. I just think, my God, the welfare Christians, you know, I don't do nothing. Somebody else take care of me. Well, God don't. He don't do that. God's not a welfare God. He don't do that one. No, that's only churches and governments are welfare. God is not. God expects people to do something. Well, here, to me, I don't mind being held accountable. Dear Lord, means I can get blessed. God set up a system I can get blessed, and He wants me to hold me accountable to be blessed. Oh, isn't that awful? Hallelujah. But anyhow, in Mark 11:23, Jesus said this, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, he makes this statement. He said, this person, this one who makes this statement about this mountain, he said, he does not doubt in his heart. In other words, the heart is the place a person believes in their heart, and you cannot have doubt in your heart. Now, he's not talking about your head. He's talking about your heart. Many times Christians are believing in their heart, but they follow their head, the doubts in their head. And they think, well, I'm doubting, I'm just having trouble believing. You see, if you can't come in contact with the inner man, many times I brought things to pass and my mind gave me trouble the whole time with it. Because I know the difference between believing in the heart and I know when my inner man's believing something. I know when I believe it's true and my head's going, oh man, this is a bit out there. You know how many times when I preach and I make a statement about something and my mind says to me, oh man, you shouldn't say that because boy, what if the devil will stop you? Oh man, what if you see, those things will start. That's what holds most Christians back. Their mind is what's always holding back because their mind is their authority. That's the place that means the most to them, their mind. And they're so used to yielding to it. As soon as the mind gives them a hard time, they go over to it. And so the human spirit was designed by God to believe. And now he said, you must believe in your heart. Now understand those words that we speak. And you have to get a hold of this. The words that you speak that will come to pass must be the words the heart is believing, not what the mind's believing. Your mind could believe the right thing and say it, but that ain't going to produce it. Your mind will not produce it. Your mind doesn't have the ability to produce it. It can only be produced from your spirit, from the inner man. That's the only place it can be produced. The seed's planted in the heart. It ain't planted in the head. It ain't planted in your mental. It ain't planted in your feelings. It's not planted there. So the word spoken, They must be words that are believed in the heart. That's why you want to see people say, well, why would God give tongues? Because tongues, the Spirit speaking out words from your spirit rather than from your head. The mental church all wants to always talk and say everything it can understand. And if it can't understand it mentally, it won't accept it. Healing don't make sense to most of the church world. They don't like faith healers. Well, why not? What is it wrong to have faith? Believe God will do something? Oh, let's think out. People's minds are so messed up. And that's what most of the church world follows, the mental, to what makes sense in the mind. There's loads of things inside of me I know are true in the Word of God, and my mind still can't wrap itself around it, but I don't care. My mind ain't going to dominate it. The Bible says it. This is the way we're going to go. Now, I know you don't make a lot of friends with this thing. It even caused division in your home. When I first started off, you know, Wanda didn't understand some things this crazy man was doing. But there's things that I knew on the inside of me. There's one advantage that I had is when I got born again. I was a big believer in the spirit realm. Most of the church world is not. Majority of spirit-filled believers don't really. They talk about the spirit realm, but don't really believe it exists. I believe the spirit realm is much more important than anything in the natural realm. The spirit realm's eternal. The natural realm isn't. Your body that you're sitting with today that you pamper so much and try to do, that thing is a temporal thing. And it's going to be gone. Thank God. But I found this. If I want to keep this thing working, you can do all the natural junk and do all you want. But I learned the real life of dealing with this thing is through the spirit. That's how it's dealt with. Healing, divine healing, comes from the realm of the spirit. It don't come from the natural. You can't get it through the natural. You can't get divine healing at a doctor. It never happens. You can't get divine healing from eating all the right foods. Impossible. It's not, none of it's natural. Divine healing is the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, divine healing is without any kind of natural thing whatsoever, and neither doctors or anything else. Divine healing. You never saw Jesus say, hey, you need to eat more lettuce, man. You just, now look, I ain't got nothing against it. I like salads. I eat salads and I like them. But the whole thing of it is, I mean, there ain't nothing about eating right. But you know, Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone. Our society today believes bread alone. Most of the church world even preaches it from their pulpits. They preach diets. They preach, God gave me this special diet. Thank God I'm redeemed from the curse of the special diet. Hallelujah. I always ask the people, God gives you a special diet. Now they have to stay on the special diet for the rest of their life. I say, well, then it didn't heal you. It didn't heal you. You still have the problem. You're trying to keep it under bay by the natural. See, I don't know why. See, I think about this stuff. Most people, they just walk along. They're just dummies. They're just like their head sitting in a bell and somebody's hitting it with a hammer. It's going gong, gong, and they're just walking. They don't stop and think for themselves how things don't make a bit of sense. See, last time I thought about healing, when you got healed, then you didn't have the problem anymore. That's what I thought. And I'm going to stick to that kind of thinking because I don't know about you. That's the kind of healing I want to have. The one where the problem ends, that you're not having to take a medication to keep it under bay all the time, or you're having to eat a certain food to keep it under bay all the time, or you're having to do that. You may have to do that sometimes to keep till you get your faith working good for you, get yourself on. But you shouldn't be, for the rest of your life, having to keep to do a certain thing because you didn't get healed. Don't tell people you did. Don't lie to people because it's only going to hurt you when something bad really happens and you can't bring it under control. The doctors have no way and there's no natural thing and you have no faith for it because you believe eating the right stuff and doing things, keeping it under bay would just be enough to get by. So you want to come to the place where your faith can work. Hallelujah. Folks, that's good preaching. We need to understand these things. But understand, we're dealing with the areas of faith, and faith must believe in the heart, but you don't doubt in your heart. The words that are spoken, Jesus are talking about, are the words that are believed in your heart that you don't doubt. So you must come in contact with the inner man. You have to. Do you know what you really believe? Over the times, I've seen people come to me and say, I don't know if I'm believing or not. And I say to them, I know you're not believing. You'd sure know it if you did. It wouldn't do you any. I don't know if I'm believing. I know if I'm believing or not. See, I don't understand when people say that, because, like, to me, I know on the inside of me if I'm believing something in the inside of me or I'm not. I know. I know if I need to spend more time meditating on the Word. This is one of the things that do. Most people, one of the reasons why things don't work for them is because every little thing comes along. They want to pray and believe God in 2 seconds. They don't take time to meditate on the Word till they're ready to speak from their heart. I want all the words, the majority of confession that most people make is made trying to get themselves to believe. See, it's through hearing the Word that we come to the place we believe. But faith is only in operation when you believe it and don't doubt and you say the words. Jesus didn't say you have to say the mountain 27 times to get it to move, did he? He never made any statements. He never told people they had to do anything for some long period of time. He never said any of that. Why? If you believe in your heart, if you believe it in your heart and you say it one time and you believed it and you don't doubt, that thing's coming to pass. That thing's on the move. This is why most people are just making confessions trying to get themselves to believe. Their confession has more to deal with them than it does in the areas of faith. So you need to get yourself to the point where you know you're ready to say it. Do you know if you're ready to confess? See, I get feeling bad. Just pray for me. Let's get this thing fixed quick. That's why most people don't get healed, is because they're not ready for it. They're not ready for an operation of the faith out of their hearts. They're not ready for it. See, I learned, Kenneth Hagin, he's a guy who taught me about faith and healing, would himself not just instantly pray. When his kids were attacked, he didn't instantly go pray for them. He would meditate on the Word until he was ready, and then he would do it, and it would take place. This is why most of people don't see stuff happen. I learned, when I'm ready to go, this is one of the things that why I have seen so many supernatural things taking place quickly. Because I learned to wait till I'm ready to say it and not doubt. You got to come to that. If you don't, you're just blowing wind. You're just saying stuff. You're just talking. And this is why a lot of people run around and do their confession. They're doing confession. Confession's wonderful. Also, after you have believed and said, is to keep yourself over in the areas of faith. Say, praise God, you know, is keep a confession. I spoke to that mountain. That mountain has to move. That mountain's moving. I believe I received that. That mountain's going. See, to keep, that's not for God. God don't need nothing else said. You know, when the farmer, he doesn't go out there and plant corn in the field and go up the next morning and say, you know, maybe I didn't get that one right. Let's go plant that one again. Let's go out there and plant that corn again. And let's go out there and plant. This is what people are doing and calling faith. They're running out there planting it 47 times and not waiting. Mike said this morning, you know, he talked about seed, time, and harvest. You know, he said seed, and that their wonderful word is called time, which everybody hates. Because everybody wants a McDonald's Christianity and a McDonald's faith. I say something and instantly it takes place and it happens. I want that. It don't work that way. It's seed, it's time, time. That seed, you know, it's like the farmer. The next day he gets up, he looks across that field and ain't nothing coming up. He don't think a thing of it. Why? He knows it takes time for that seed to germinate. He knows it takes time for that thing to come up. And he ain't getting any ears of corn on that sucker till later on in the year they'll start to develop. He knows that. So he don't run out there and feel, say, I just don't understand. 2 weeks ago I planted it and there's just some little things out there. And I should be having eaten corn on the cob right now. I ought to have been feeding that to the cows, man. He's not doing that. But there's the church. I don't understand. I just don't understand. That's why you continually feed your faith and keep yourself going. So you're always activated and ready. People who don't do that, you're not going to see the things that happen through the people who are always prepared. You're not going to have it. Faith ain't something you just wait around till all of a sudden you need it and you just flip a switch and there it is. It don't happen like that. It's seeds planted all the time. Glory to God. See, all the time I say, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from poverty. I'm redeemed from sickness. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed from spiritual death. Glory to God. God gave me poverty. For poverty, he gave me prosperity. For sickness, he gave me health. And for death, he gave me eternal life. That's what I got. Because I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. See, sickness is not the norm for me. See, I said, sickness is not normal. I don't have problems with sickness all the time. I don't have that all the time. It's because I'm all the time feeding my faith and speaking words out of my heart. All the time. There's all the time. You get keep a crop rolling. You know, everybody's trying to get a crop. You know, they want it. You're not going to do that. It's just like with money. You know, people will turn around and give it. They wait till they need money. Then they want to start their giving. I'm sorry. It's called seed time and harvest. And if you haven't put any money out there, don't expect it. It ain't coming back tomorrow. You aren't going to give in the offering today and get it back tomorrow. It ain't happening. Forget it. That ain't the way it works. That's why I give often. Why? Because the Bible says, so you have it coming in on every wave. You go down the beach, there's waves. You ever see the waves at the beach? You know, if they stop, what on earth is happening and going on here? What's going on? There's waves on the beach. And they come in and constant. Most Christians, maybe every 5,000 waves, they might get something. Because that's the way they do in their giving. They're giving and they're believing. It's like about a 5,000, every 5,000. They don't have, when they need something. When I need something, I have already been planting. I can call in. I have harvest coming to me all the time. Harvest comes to me all the time. I plant all the time. I always got stuff in the ground going. Hallelujah. I've learned this principle. That's the way it works. You know, the kingdom of God is wonderful because from a seasonal standpoint, I can make my own seasons. But you know, if you wait around and dump it in the ground, you're going to have to wait a season for it. But the kingdom of God isn't like the kingdom of this earth. I can plant any day of the week I want to. I can water those seed anytime I want to. I can have stuff coming in anytime I want to. But most people, this is their operation. They wait till the need comes, then they start. Now we're going to start obeying the word. Now we're going to start getting into the healing. Now I'm going to start to get into giving because I need money. And now I'm going to start doing this. Well, get ready to wait. Hallelujah. I can call it in because I've been planting. I mean, the fact that the Lord came to me and at the end of 2014, November in 2014, and said to me, "You don't reap," he said, at the measure that you sow, you need to be bringing more in. Well, he ain't going to say that to everybody. If you ain't done much planting or anything like that out there, it ain't going to happen to you. He ain't going to talk to you about that. Most people, the mercy of God, he did more for them than they deserve. And that's what he told me, you got to start, I want you to have more, you need to call more in. You see, because I've been planting and planting and planting. In other words, God plans on some bigger waves for me. Well, he might for you. If you're consistent, you're doing this consistently, you can expect something. Hallelujah. We have very low expectation, and low expectation, people don't get what they need. But we need to understand this. This is all dealing with the inner man. You know, we know this from salvation. And Paul talked in Romans 10:10 for he said, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the heart. He said, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's just what Jesus got done talking here. It's the heart and a confession of what's in the heart, not what's in your mind or in your head. You know, and I realize this. You know, I grew up, you know, in church world that most of the people, they called themselves Christians, but many weren't Christians. They had mentally accepted a religious belief, but they had never gotten born again because nobody ever told them about believing in the heart. They believe you went to an altar and you prayed through. Then you ended up saved one day. I used to think about this as a kid. Well, what if you went up there and prayed and you want to get saved and you didn't get prayed through and you died tomorrow? You went off to hell because you didn't get prayed through. See, man, this is a lousy, I used to think this. This is a lousy system God set up. This is terrible. This is an awful thing. When I was a kid, I thought, this is really stupid. What if you're up there, you do this and do all that, and God don't save you? You got to somehow pray through. And you'd ask him about what the praying through was, and they didn't have a clue either. It's just something they did. It was a nice religious practice, and they were all wonderful people. You know, they were nice people, but dumb as a stick to God. They didn't understand God. They didn't understand His kingdom. They didn't understand how it worked. I remember my mother saying this one time because we went to a church one time as kids. I was just a real little kid. But I remember the minister called people forward and had them, you know, talk to them about believing your heart and confess with your mouth. And they did. They confessed Jesus as Lord. And he told them, you're children of God, born again. I'll never forget. My mom said, oh, you can't do that. That ain't that easy. I remember my mom. But see, she had been taught all these years, her religious junk in the church. All this religious junk. Keeping people away from God. And the whole time saying they're bringing them to Him. But they're not. She didn't understand. He was right, but in her belief, she thought he was doing what was wrong, and she didn't realize she was going to a church that was doing wrong all the time. All the time, doing wrong. And so, you know, I don't want to live in that place, do you? You don't want to go. We want to find out. If the Word of God is not made for intellectuals, if you're intellectual, you're going to have a hard time. You don't look at the Word. The Word of God is just, it's so simple. You have to stumble around to mess it up. You have to intentionally do crazy things because it is so easy to figure out how it works. It's so easy. So God tells us. So with a heart, it says one believes. Now, if we turn over to 1 Peter, the second chapter, we want to look at what Peter said. Here Peter was talking to a woman, was talking to women about how to get a guy. You know, you need to learn this. He went and told him about, he talked to him, not trying to get a guy by looking so good and all this kind of stuff. And there's nothing matter with looking good. But if that is your thing to get a guy, you know what's going to happen to you, ladies? When you get older and you don't look so good, he's going to be looking at somebody else because you trained him to take the pretty thing rather than expecting a guy who was spiritual that wanted something more than just a pretty thing. Man, when I was a sinner, I ran around with a lot of pretty things, and thank God I didn't marry them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, my, what a mess that'd have been. Hallelujah. It ain't just a pretty thing. See, spirituality, lots of people, see, people that we're tied today to the world. A lot of the church world's tied to the world. Everything looking good. Everything looking good, and all the looking good has made a mess. There's nothing matter with looking good, but that's not the forefront of anything. That's not the forefront of anything. Because I'll tell you, they say, you know, beauty's only skin deep. Well, I'll tell you, if it is, you're in big trouble. Because, you don't want to go there. But he says in the third chapter of 1 Peter, Peter says this, and this is an important statement. This isn't just to women, this is to men. Listen what he says there. Rather let it be what? The hidden person of the heart with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, I want you to see that. What does he say he's dealing with here? He said the woman, look, he said it's a hidden person of the heart. He calls the heart a hidden person. It's a hidden person. See, the heart is a hidden person. And then he talks about having a quiet spirit, a gentle and quiet spirit. In other words, he uses the term of the heart being a person, and also he says it's your spirit. So see, when we see these terms in the Bible, lots of people don't. You know, I'll never forget like dealing with the heart. You know, my mom and them and their church and my dad and them, I remember this, and I've ran into other people the same way. I'll never forget when they started doing heart transplants. Oh, Christians got all bent out of shape. Well, you're taking somebody, a sinner's heart, and you put it in a Christian. Oh, they thought the physical heart. The Bible, now you can't no more believe with your physical heart than you can believe with your liver or your right ear. Dear God. It ain't talking about... But they would do that. I've got into... You know, there's still groups today that still fuss over that. There's people, and not long back, maybe less than a year ago, a person died that wouldn't accept a heart transplant because you can't do it to another person's heart because, you know, that I don't want a sinner's heart, I'll go to hell. It's like, oh my God. See, it might sound dumb to you, but you guys need to realize. You know, us ministers touch into a lot of different things you generally don't touch into, and I get to hear and stuff. And there is insanity up to here out there. And it's in the Christian world. And it's among ministers up to here. There's more dumb ministers than you can shake a stick at. Not just credible. But the whole thing, they're not taught. They're not trained in the Bible. Religion is just a nice, you know, it's physical, it's mental, just trying to be nice people. Good, they want to be nice people, but they don't know God and how He works. So they can't have the blessing of God. How terrible it is. They sit around and pray the Lord's Prayer. God's will be done on earth like it is in heaven. You let God's word start happening in earth like in heaven, they'll get mad at you. Chris, all the time I hear ministers criticizing healing people and all this kind of... You let healing start, they get mad as a stick. Well, it would seem to me healing would be normal coming into this earth. Why would we be praying? I get God gets confused. They say to pray, your will done on earth like it is in heaven, but we don't want it showing up. God must surely get confused. So He sends them healing and they say, we can't have that. I don't believe in this faith healing stuff. Well, what kind of you? Unbelief healing? Would that be better? That's what they want. They want that you pray and don't know, and maybe God does something, and then they get all excited. Oh, my words, God actually answered a prayer. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says we're just a bunch of idiots. Thank God His word is true. But here we talk about the heart of a person is here called a hidden person. It's the hidden person, your heart. So He's talking about a hidden person. See, and this is why He's dealing with, see, that hidden person, he's hidden. He's hidden to the physical senses. The real me, the real person that I am, is the heart. He's like, see, we use the term heart. The word heart don't mean just something that pumps blood. You know, people use the term the heart of a problem, or they use the terms that, you know, we used to do, and because they talk about, you know, in lumbering the heart of the tree and all kind of stuff like that. It's talking about the centermost part of something. Your heart or your spirit's the centermost part of you. That's what it is. It's what you really are. You see, I am a spirit being. I am a spirit. That's what I am. I have a soul, I have mind, will, and emotions, and I live in a body. Your body, the Bible's clear on the subject, calls it a house, but I like the King James where Paul said they translated a tent. I like tent because it sounds more temporal, because that's how temporal it is. And you, when you die, they're going to stuff that dumb thing you've been living in the ground where it belongs, because it ain't worth keeping up above. That stupid thing needs buried, but we don't have to look at it. It is so, your body needs buried. And we bury it, and the only thing that we want out, if God's glory don't come and resurrect it into a glorified body, you need to keep it buried, that stupid thing. You know, when you get to heaven and find out what it's like to, you know, to as a spirit being and the glory of people in heaven, you'll wonder why you spent so much time about your dumb body. if you'll wonder, why didn't I just do more spiritual? We could have bought that crazy thing in line a lot easier. And I'll guarantee you, you'll think in that manner. You won't think in the manner of that body. I'll guarantee you, if you all of you right now, zap today, went to heaven, you wouldn't be crying and asking to get your body back here. You'd be so glad to be out of that stupid thing. We put such high, you know, this thing is just so, it's so wonderful. It's the last thing that gets redeemed. It's the last thing, and thank God when it does. I don't want one unless it's glorified. Don't hand me another one like this. Don't give me another one like this, dear God. What people go through with this thing. This is why, you know, in Hebrews 11:1 says this, what faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen. The not seen, see, faith deals with the inner man. It's dealing with a not seen man. It's dealing with a man who is not seen. This is why people have a hard time with faith. They always want to see something. Faith doesn't deal with seeing. It deals with the part of you that can't be seen. It can't be felt. You can't touch, I just felt my inner man. Just felt him. No, you can't feel him. You can't see him. And see, that's what we're dealing with faith. Faith is in that unseen man. See, when people say seeing's believing, well, if you can see it, why would you try to be believing? That's what the Bible asks the question. If you can see it, why would you be? Whoever came up with the stupid statement, seeing is believing. Well, you don't have to believe the Bible says if you can see it. Well, it's right in front of me and I'll believe now. I believe. Well, it didn't take no believing. You already saw it. You can touch it. Faith, and this is why when people have troubled areas of faith, people don't believe till they feel better. Then I'll believe God's working and healing me. They see they're not in contact with the inner man. The inner man believes. The inner man says, praise God, I believe I'm healed. The outer man says, you knucklehead, I don't feel healed. I'm feeling terrible. And the inner man says, no, you're healed. You're healed. And the outer man says, no, I'm not. I don't feel right. And the inner man saying, why don't you shut up? Because the inner man wants to bring that healing to pass and the outer man keeps fighting it. And if your soul was tied to the outer man, you'll fight it then with your soul, with your mind, will, and emotions, and not allow the healing to come. See, you got to believe that inner man, what that inner man's believing, you got to get that on your lips. That is what you have to be saying, and that's what you have to believe. See, that's why when Jesus said, Mark 11:24, it says, when you pray, you believe you receive it, then you'll have it. You got to believe you receive it before you feel it. You got to believe you receive it before you see anything. That's when you believe you receive it. It don't take any faith to have it show up and say, oh, I believe I'm healed now. I don't take that. There's no faith involved in that. No faith involved. See, you want faith. This inner man believes something, and if you can tie the inner man to your tongue, it's amazing what you can produce. That's why Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. There's nothing that inner man can't produce and bring out if you will keep your tongue tied to him instead of your feelings, instead of your body. If you keep your tongue tied to your body and confessing what your body feels and sees, you're always going to have problems. We're dealing with it. This thing is about planting seeds. It's when what's the farmer do? Does he lay a seed on top of the ground so he can go out and see it? Does he do that? He puts that seed where you can't see it. And that's where the Word of God is. It's put in a place you can't see it. And you have to believe it's working and say it's working whether you see it or not. Just like the farmer, we would call him an idiot out there if he kept every day going out and digging up to see if the seed's still there. There's the Christians digging up the seed all the time, going and looking again. Well, it don't seem like it's working. It don't seem like it's working. I don't feel like it's working. I just, let's go dig it up again and go look at it. And then go to lie and other people say, I'm trusting the Lord. No, you're not. You're a seed digger upper. That's what you are. What did James say about the guy who asked for wisdom? But he said, he's a double minded man, unstable in all his ways. Don't let that man think he'll receive anything from God. See, folks, this is not a hard thing to do. You just got to stop your habits. Now I was a sinner. I smoked a couple packs a day. And I quit smoking. When I quit smoking, I felt like people today say, well, people smoke, it's all about the nicotine. No, it doesn't. You become psychologically attached to things. As much as you do when they say, you get psychologically attached. I would find myself reaching for a cigarette even when I had no craving for a cigarette. But out of habit, after I would eat, I always would smoke a cigarette. So the thing, what happened? Habit. Most of you here, the areas where you have a hard time about faith, it's because your habits. You ain't broke your habits yet. You can set yourself good habits or bad habits. Many Christians, when it comes to faith, have set themselves bad habits of doing things. And they wonder why faith don't work. But they have bad habits. And you got to break yourself. You got to break yourself of that having to see and feel. You got to break yourself of that habit. You got to stop it because your body will want to keep reaching for the cigarette. You got to break that habit. That's psychology. You don't even crave it for it. But you get so used to doing that where you automatically go back and do it. It's breaking habits. I found out with myself when I started off as a Christian, I had to break habits about, because you know what? Even though I thought Christianity was crazy, I had picked enough bad things up from it that those things affected. I had to get them out of me. I had to get the bad Christian habits out of me. Things they talked about God wasn't true. I found out by the Word it wasn't true. But you have to, those things get in you and you just automatically start practicing certain things and they ain't even true. They ain't even right. But you do it and go ahead and go along and don't know the whole time that it's affecting your faith, can't produce what it wants to because of your habits. Won't allow it to. So you want to make sure you start picking up the right habits. So one of the things is I really like about reading after Charles Capps when it comes to controlling your tongue and what you're saying. Most of you have some bad habits concerning your tongue. Now, I'm not talking about cussing, swearing, or anything like that, but saying wrong things. Getting around people who talk wrong things and joining in the conversation, speaking things you shouldn't be speaking because they affect your faith. Well, you know that. Yeah, no, that's why, you know, I avoid a lot of older people because I don't need to sit around. I'm not talking with people. We aren't going to have much of a conversation when they're telling you how you, as you get older, boy, your body just don't. And I'm not going there. We ain't going to that talk. We ain't going to talk about, you know, how bad. Well, I'll tell you, the weather's so bad out there. Dear Lord, don't tell it. You know, tomorrow it's going to get so cold. Sure, I'm going to stay in the house and warm. I'll tell you, that's how bad it's going to get. I'm going to be warm tomorrow. Or let's get on there and let's get the Weather Channel and scare the hell out of all of us. Now, I'm not being vulgar, but that's exactly what you do. You got to stop that junk. They do that for money because they know fearful people will go and watch that. People who've listened to the devil and bad stuff will go and listen to it and make themselves more afraid. And if they can get more people to watch them, they make more ad money. I'm not going to help the Weather Channel make money. I'm going to help God. I'm not going to try to scare people to get in their wallet. I'm not one of those preachers. Right? If you don't give, God will turn on you. No, the Bible never says that. If you don't give, that's your problem, not mine. But I'm not going to tell you God's going to get you if you don't. See, fear is one of the greatest motivators to get people to do something. Most people, most Christians will move faster by fear than they will by faith. A lot faster by fear than they will by faith. Oh, yeah. Christians don't pay no attention to, you know, teaching on health and stuff till the doctor says the terrible word cancer and all of a sudden we want to be Mr. and Mrs. Faith. Fear. And the only reason they're doing it is fear. That word brings fear. And they hear that word, and all of a sudden, let's jump to do something. See, if fear draws you to do it, you're already started off on the wrong foot. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Fear is always the wrong motivation to do anything. I buried people who got into trying to get healed by faith because of their fears, and I buried them in their fears. Trying to get into faith, but never got out of fear. That's why you want to get into the Word when everything's good, so when something bad happens, you ain't afraid. I learned that a long time ago, because fear will always want to come. Fear will come knocking on your door. Fear will come up, tap on you. Fear will come to your mind. The devil will come and talk to you, and he'll send 10 Christians to you to try to make you afraid. He'll come and talk some junk to you, trying to make you afraid of something. Well, I know so-and-so that had that. See, that's what I just needed to hear, devil. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Most of them would lose their personality if you cast the devil out of them. They won't have one anymore. Good preaching then. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I'll read you some more scriptures here to get you over into this because I want you to get into seeing yourself as a spirit person, not as a physical person, but as a spirit person. Because God wants you to operate over the areas of faith. He wants to bless you and use you to bless others. And you can't do that if looking on the natural and seeing yourself as always on the natural side. You have a natural body, but never put the natural body first. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 there says, listen to what Paul wrote. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. He said, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, there's an outward man. Hey, we know about the outward man, don't we? We've been putting up with this big dummy, anyway. We know about the outward. He said there's an inward man. There's an inward man. Did you know that there's an inward man? You have an inward man. It's a man. He calls it a man. It's an inward man. It's an inward being. It's the part of you that's like God. Your physical body isn't like God the Father. God the Father don't have a physical body. So you couldn't be like God because you have a physical body. God don't have one. Now the Son has one. In fact, He's in a glorified. He went and put on a body to come down here and redeem you and me. And before Jesus came down here, He didn't have a body. He had a spiritual body, a spirit form, but He didn't. But now He is in a glorified body, and His glorified body is what ours is going to be like. The Bible says when we see Him, we're going to be just as He is. In other words, you want to have a body just like His. Glory to God when that day comes and the resurrection. Glory to God, we get this glorified body. The whole purpose of that is, I ain't going to go into teaching on it. The whole purpose of that is because God is going to unite the physical and the spiritual realm. There's going to be a glorified spiritual realm. The new heaven and new earth is going to be a glorified spiritual realm. It's not. It's the physical and the spiritual are going to be joined together. Man can operate in the physical area and the spiritual area. Didn't Jesus do that when He came down here and that stuff after His? Yeah. But there's going to be a glorified one where sin's never going to enter anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No more junk. You're going to have a body that ain't going to be thinking stupid and fighting against the inner man. Isn't that wonderful? Man, I'm going to tell you, to me, that let's get that tomorrow. You think that'll work? These people say, I don't know if I want Jesus to come back right away. I do. I don't know about you. Maybe you like where you are. You love living in the flesh. I don't. I don't love living in the flesh. I like walking in the Spirit. But I'll tell you what, I want to come to that place where there's that fight ends. Hallelujah. Here we're fighting the good fight of faith. I'm going to tell you, that's going to end. There ain't going to be that going on anymore. But there's an inward man. And that inward man, what's happening to him? He's being renewed day by day. See, the inside's being renewed. The inside never gets old. My inner man is no different than it was the day I got born again. He is renewed. As he's just as full of life as he was that day. No aging to the inner man. There is no aging. There's no aging to the inner man. That's why when you go to heaven, you're not going to, you know, you get old, you're not going to have this wrinkled face in heaven. You ain't having one because it's your inner man is there, and the glorified body is going to be in the similitude of the inner man. He's going to be glorified according to the inner man. None of us are going to be overweight. No one of us are trying to this. You know, I got this problem, I got this problem about it. I wish I could change this or I could change that. My words. We might all be good to look at. I'm not guarantee you that. Some people I don't know. I'm just joking with you. Just joking with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. But see, there's an inner man. This is why you need to be conscious. Inner man is the place. That inner man is the place where faith takes place. That inner man wants a voice. He cannot have a voice unless you give it to him. He will never overtake your voice. That will never happen. He don't ever overtake your voice. You must give him voice. That's when we make confession. Confession's made to salvation. It's when a person believes something in their heart and they give voice to it with their lips of what they believe in their heart. No one has ever believed in their heart what the Word says of salvation and then confessed it and they didn't get born again. That never has ever taken place. If a person believes something in their heart and he said it with the mouth, it comes to pass. That's the design of God. That's what heaven's all about. That's what the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the operation of a spirit man who speaks. To bring things into this earth to pass, that's how you're going to have to do it from God's kingdom. That's the way it's brought to pass. There's no other way to do it. I can't find any other thing in Scripture that brings you to pass. The outward man's a temporary man. The inner man's the eternal man. The inner man's like God. He's made in the likeness and the image of God, the inner man. See, that's the one you want to be in mostly contact of what you are on the inside, the real you. You want him to be dominating and not the voice of the flesh or the voice of the soul that's not renewed. You know, mind's renewed perfectly. My mind's a whole lot better than it used to be, but it's still not perfect. And sometimes I find my soul is trying to operate against my inner man. And so those things happen. Now look what it says in Romans. Look what Romans, the 7th chapter. Romans, the 7th chapter. I want to read you something here Paul wrote. Romans Romans the 7th chapter, verse 22, Paul said this, "For I delight in the law of God according to what? The inward man." The inward man. See this inward man? This one it's called heart. This one it's called spirit. That inner man. He said the inner, see the inner man is after God. You know, when I've told this before, but when I was a young Christian, I wasn't born again real long, and I just got over into some things where I missed it with God, and I just thought, you know, well, God had spoken to me a number of things about things that eventually down the road that He wanted me to do and things. I never thought I was going to arrive there because I could just see myself, I'm messing up too much. I'm not, you know, I expected really what I was doing is I expected more out of me. But what I wasn't doing, I was judging myself according to my outward man and my soul. That's what I was doing. I'll never forget, I was laying 321 Canal Street up in the bedroom that faced the Canal Street out on the front. I was laying on the floor. And I was pleading to God. I was crying out to God and literally crying and saying, "Lord, you know, I messed up and you've put things in me that you want me to do. I could not see how am I ever going to fulfill this? I'm messing up too much." And the Lord spoke to me and said this to me. All of a sudden, this voice said, in fact, this voice said to me, and see, it was in a very sort of a more of a audible voice sounding and this is God didn't, He don't deal with me much like this anymore. Mostly He just speaks to me out the inside. But understand, I'm a baby Christian and I'm not listening to what is outside. This voice says, "You love me with all your heart." And the first thought that came to my mind, I thought, that was a devil. I wouldn't be, if my heart was right, I wouldn't be doing this stuff. And so I went back to whining again. And then a voice said to me the second time, said the same thing, "You love me with all your heart." And I thought, "Nah, it's bad enough. I'm in this trouble and the devil's talking to me." and you have, because these ministers will always throw out the scripture. In fact, I saw them just do this lately. "Well, you know, the heart is only to do evil. That's man's heart's always to do evil." Well, yeah, if you're not born again, it is. If you got born again and your heart is always to do evil, you got some kind of born again I never had. But they preach this stuff. They take what's spoken to the man in the Old Testament. Nobody in the Old Testament was born again. Their heart was a nature of sin. That's what it was. In the New Testament, it ain't that. Well, anyhow, so the third time that voice speaks to me, and he said, "You love me with all your heart." And he said, "You look at your heart. You love me with all your heart." Well, I just stopped and I thought, you know, is it first ever I looked on the inside of me. I see, I hadn't been looking. I've been listening to my unrenewed soul. I've been listening to my flesh. And the devil's been talking to both of them. And I've been listening to this. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "You love me." And all of a sudden, I realized, I do. I love Him with all my heart. You need to understand this. If this is what happens to Christians. Christians have a pull toward God. And they mess up. And they pull away from God. But yet in the side, There's this pull toward God, and they ignore it. They let their flesh and their unrenewed soul keep them away. See, when I looked on the inside, I thought, my God, my inner man is nothing but after Him. My inner man wants Him. My inner man. And then the Lord said to me, He said, "Quit judging yourself after the flesh." He said, "I don't judge you that way." You see, I was judging Him, the things I did in the outside and things. But my heart, see, I was condemning my own heart. My own heart hadn't done a thing wrong. My heart was after Him. What I was doing was because of my own stupidity as a natural. But my inner man, there was nothing wrong with it. See, the inner man's born again. The inner man wants God. You have to work at degrading your inner man. You have to work at it. And some people do. They spend their whole Christian walk degrading the inner man, putting wrong things in him, planting wrong stuff in him, doing that kind of stuff. See, it's why you want to plant the right things. It's just like a farmer. If a farmer buys a beautiful farm, great soil, he don't take care of that thing. He can ruin that soil out there. He can end up with a mess on his hands. And that's a lot of Christians. You got a beautiful born-again spirit, and they just do nothing but go to a church and feed it junk. And do nothing but plant weeds in it and plant junk in it. And after a while, that wonderful thing can't work like it wanted to. Gets full of junk. It's all clogged up with junk on the inside. Wrong seeds in there growing. Weeds growing up in that thing instead of stuff that produces fruit. And so you get that. That's why you want to be careful. You know, Jesus said to guard your heart. You guard it. You guard what you go sticking in that thing and planting it in. You just don't throw any old junk in that thing. You got the most wonderful thing. You're born again human spirit. There's nothing on the face of this earth that God ever made that is as precious and unique as that is. It is designed to produce anything that you'd put in it, but it is especially designed that you would put the Word of God in it and it'll produce it. That's what it's designed for. And see, if you mess it up, then you have a hard time getting it to produce. That's why you want to make sure you get the Word of God and putting the Word of God in. It's an inner man. It's just like food in a person. You take a person and you just keep feeding them, just, you know, eating. I love ice cream, but if you ate ice cream all the time, you ain't going to do very well when your physical body. Well, it's the same way with your spirit. You can't feed it. You know, I think it was, I don't remember right now who it was. I think it was Bosworth made the statement. He said, most Christians feed their body 3 meals a day and their body one snack a week, one cold snack a week. The spirit man, the inner man's not being put in it. The inner man doesn't have anything going in it. You gotta keep this guy and keep good stuff in him. Why? To keep him so he's productive. Because that's where the life of the body, the Bible says this, the body without the spirit's dead. See, this is what happens to many people. They turn around and people dying prematurely, they got spiritual problems. Their inner man, look, the body without the spirit's dead. You get this inner man not working right, and it's going to have effect on everything. It's going to have effect on your body and everything else. So see, this is why you can't live but bread alone. It ain't going to work. Because the life that's in the inner man, same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, makes alive your mortal body. For I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. Ephesians 3:16. Look what it says there concerning that. Here's Paul's prayer in the third chapter. And he says in Ephesians 3:16, he said that he would grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might by his spirit, what? In the inner man. Praying for the strength concerning the inner man. The inner man's strength. The more I become strong on the inner man, the more I can change things concerning the outer. This is why Christians have a hard time bringing fleshly things under control. They never develop the inner man. They're always trying to do it through the outer man. Let's go and do a program. Don't touch, don't taste, don't this, don't that, don't this. Go get it. Look, if the law would have worked, we wouldn't have needed to be saved. The law, don't do this, don't do that, didn't work, and God knew it wouldn't work. He never had intended. He wanted to show man that through the law, you can't keep the law to be perfect. You need something better. That was the whole purpose of the law, was to show man what was wrong. Jesus Christ came to fix it, and the only thing that could be fixed was spiritual. Was the only thing that could fix it. And we want Christianity to be a physical thing. You know, let's have worship. Let's have a light show, because we have a light show. My body enjoys that. You know, maybe get a smoke machine and let's go. Oh, we love that. I can really worship God by what I feel. We have to have mood lights today in the churches. Mood lights. Where did the Bible ever talk about where God is interested concerning my mood? If you ain't got to keep your mood under control, get saved. Old moody thing. Over the years, I've found this even before I was in the ministry. People come, well, today I just worship wasn't right. I just couldn't get in. I just didn't feel that it was. People start talking that stuff. You get some guy over here sitting and he talks about how wonderful it was. See, one guy was operating out of his spirit, and the other knucklehead's over here trying to fake like he was spiritual. There was something wrong. There was nothing wrong. He's the idiot. It wasn't right. I don't worship God to how I feel. I come in here some Sundays, I don't even feel it. I stand up here in the front, and I worship and praise God, and it's totally out of my spirit, because my body's saying, why don't you sit down and just take a nap before you start here or something? I don't worship out of the outer man. I many times force my outer man into worship. I make him laugh and smile whether he wants to or not. He's under my command. Most, I'm just going to tell you, most of you, your body is commanding. Don't allow that. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to smile and be happy, and my body's saying, I ain't happy. Well, shut up. I'm in charge. Not my house don't rule me. I don't go home to my house and sit there, well, the house got a leak, so I must be leaking. I'll tell you what, I just, you know, I better see if the house is happy today, then I can be happy. Folks, I'm talking to you about something. This is what your emotions. See, faith is not tied to any of that. Yet that's what most people are tied to. And trying to have faith. Faith ain't got nothing to do. Many times I've been in faith and everything around seems to be wrong. All my emotions, all my feelings seem to be wrong. Everything seems to be wrong. But I don't get moved. I just don't get moved by that. I can't let that change me. The Bible says, you know, if I have to stop and go over the scripture myself and I'll just say, now body, now look at this. This is what the scripture says. You might as well get over yourself. This is what we're following. You know, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Your substance, the substance of faith is the Word of God. The Word of God written on a page, I can read. That's my substance that what I believe is coming to pass. I can stand on that whether I can see anything else. If the Bible says it's going to come to pass, that's my substance. That's what I'm standing on. I'm standing on words. Say, well, I don't believe in this confession stuff. Well, end up in hell with the rest of them. But I want to tell you what, words get you saved and words get you anything. That's the way the whole kingdom operates. It operates no differently in any of it. Say, the Word of God says it. I believe it. I don't care what my flesh says about it. It doesn't matter. My what I have that I stand on, in fact, the Amplified Bible calls concerning the word, it says is your title deed. Faith is a title deed. Actually, in the Greek, literally, that was a legal term that's used. And it means having a title. You see, it's just like, Wanda and I have cars. We have titles to our car. Those titles say we own that car. I don't care if I'm driving it around. You might be driving a car and the bank have the title. The bank is the actual owner of that car. They got the title on that thing. You try to sell it without the bank's approval. Whoever holds a title, you need to understand it. The Word of God is your title. And if I hold the title and I got the title in my hand and that title is mine, this is my covenant, and I look in there and the scripture says, by his stripes I was healed, that's all I need. I don't care what anything else says. I am holding the title to what is mine. I don't have to see it. I can own a home somewhere in another state. I could actually purchase property without seeing it. When the title comes to me, that's mine, no matter if I've ever seen it or not. It's mine. It belongs to me. We will do it concerning man and man's things he sets up. When it comes to the Word of God, we become Mr. and Mrs. Question. No, this is my title. Any scripture, the promises of this book are my title to those things. They are my substance to what I'm hoping for. Until I stand on that, I can turn around and hope for something, but ain't till I grab the title. And I say, that one belongs to me. That one's mine. I have it. I believe that's mine. See, that's what we do. What do we do? Jesus said, if you believe you receive it, you'll have it. See, I believe that's my title. See, I order offline all the time, and they send me these emails, and on the email, or they send me a text stating that I purchased such and such, and, you know, it'll be delivered, you know, on a certain day. I don't go run around telling people, well, I didn't get that. I don't know. It may not come. You just don't know. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes Amazon don't send it. Sometimes they... We ever think the nonsense we talk with God, and we listen to preachers, and put money in the offering plate to tell us dumb stuff? Well, I mean, think about it. Dear Lord, I got enough trouble in my life without taking care of the idiots. helping them destroy more people. See, it doesn't. Their stuff doesn't even make sense. We got the title in our hand. We talk about this book as being so wonderful. That book is not wonderful till you believe it's yours. That book's mine, man. It was written to me by God. I don't care if anybody else likes it. It's mine. That's my book, and that promise is in that book. They're my title to anything that that book offers. I can stand on. I have people say, well, such as seeing without seeing, you know, is you have to believe to see. No, I can. I can see the title says that one's mine. Yeah, but you don't see the thing. I don't care. I don't have to. The title says it belongs to me. It will show up. Even if it goes through the postal service, it'll show up one day, maybe. Hallelujah. Why? Because of the inner man. You get over, you get that inner man convinced. There's a lot of things today that my flesh don't fight me on anymore because it found out that this faith things work. But my flesh don't fight me on it. My flesh don't fight me anymore on healing. It don't fight me there because it found out it didn't do any good and it went and laid down and shut up. It found out this guy's going to go that way whether we like it or not. So the flesh says, okay, let's just go with the inside man and let him go ahead and do this. But it finds out. And see, this is one thing. He's training that man. But looking at yourself, you're the inner man. Colossians in the 3rd chapter. Read your scriptures here, a couple more of them. And then we'll close this off. But Colossians, the 3rd chapter, in verses 9 and 10. Apostle Paul says this in the verse of Colossians. He says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. What does it say your inner man is, this man? He's in the image of the one who created him. God is a spirit. My inner man is in the image. This inner man is in the image. Now, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to take the outer old man off. The old man is not the old sin nature. It's the flesh. It is the flesh, the nature of the flesh, which is sin. You're supposed to take that off. And what it says, and have put on the new man. You put the new man on. Understand this, God will never put the new man on for you. That's your job. As long as you live in this earth, you're the one that's going to have to do that. And what I'm teaching is trying to tell you how to get it on the outside. That's what God told Joshua. You meditate in the Word day and night. And then you're going to be able to do it. He said, then you'll prosper. You have good success. You meditate on the Word. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. The Bible tells us in Proverbs. Well, then it's life to those who find Him, health to all their flesh. So you get over and get it into the Word, the inner man. Make him strong. Put him on the outside. Now, what do you think if you take the life of God and put it on the outside in this body? Wouldn't you think it'd heal it? Sure seems to me that it would. In fact, it's been working for me for years. It's been working for me for almost 37 years now. It's been working, putting that thing on the outside, doing, putting it out here, and this thing be working out here on this outer man. It don't matter how much you got the Holy Ghost in you, if you don't let Him turn loose a little bit once in a while and get on the outside, you ain't going to ever have very much. You want what's on the inside. The Holy Spirit's in there in communion with your spirit. He isn't communing with your head, and He ain't communing with your body. Your body's dead in sin. He ain't hanging out with that. He's looking forward to the day when He can get you a brand new one that's decent. Now, He said He'll work to help keep this one alive. But man, this thing ain't going to ever get eternal. This thing ain't ever getting eternal. Hallelujah. But we can do some good with the power that's in our human spirit. You put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according, what? That knowledge that is according to the image of Him who created him. It's the knowledge of God. God has given us, what? We have the mind of Christ. He's given that to us, the mind of Christ. See, the knowledge, it's accorded in accordance with the image of the one who created us. All things were created by Him, Jesus, and nothing that was created. There was nothing that was created what wasn't created by Him. Scriptures tell us. Think about that. See, and He says concerning that, get that on the outside of you. Get eternal life on the outside of you. Eternal life ain't something you get when you die and go to heaven. If you don't have it here, you don't go to heaven. Well, so and so died and went on to their eternal life. I'm sorry, if they didn't have it here, they didn't go off into eternal life, they went off to hell. Eternal life starts here the day you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have eternal life working in you. That's why the Holy Spirit, it's the same, in other words, this new God's created in the image of God. The Holy Spirit couldn't live in you unless you get that way. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament would come upon them to do things, but they didn't have, the Holy Spirit didn't live in them. He couldn't. He couldn't live in them. Where was he going to live in them? In a dead spirit that was owned by the devil? He was going to move in there? No, the Holy Spirit. You and I are born again. The Spirit now bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. The Holy Spirit's in communion with us. We get filled with the Spirit. In other words, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is about the Spirit coming upon you. See, Peter and John said he went down to Samaria. He said because they hadn't the Spirit hadn't come upon any of them at that time. See, they hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost. That's when the Spirit comes upon you. That's what changed my life. That's the demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. That's what that's about. It's about the Spirit comes on you to ministry. The baptism of the Holy Ghost ain't for you personally. That's why it don't work for people. Because it's for ministry. That's what it's for. It's for demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. That's its purpose. It's so you can pray in tongues, hook up with God, and start ministering like God. That's what its purpose is. The church wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit for themselves. Well, this is just to fix my life. I'm sorry, salvation was supposed to do that, and you were supposed to get in the Word and fix your life. You were supposed to take the inner man, put it on the outside, get your life fixed. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is about ministry. That's why the church don't like it today. Self-centered selfishness. Everybody wants fixed. Darn, I got fixed the day I got born again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't get no more fixed than the new birth. All you got to do is get in the Word, start planting them wonderful words down in there on the inner man, and dear Lord, it just changed your life. Hallelujah. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 22. I'm going to read to you. Here again, that you put off concerning your former conduct. What are you supposed to put off concerning your former conduct? The old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Do you know? Now look what he said about your old man. What is that old man, old flesh? He talked like it was going to really get prettier or better. See, today we hide through what we call outer beauty, the ugliness, and when the whole time we're pampering this outer man, making him so important. What are we supposed to do? Put him off concerning the former conduct, the old man. The conduct of that man, get him off of you, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind. See, this inner man, he has a mind. That's where the mind of Christ is. See, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, he's the Son of God. Where does, how does the Holy Spirit lead us? By our inner man. He don't lead you by your outer man. He don't lead you by the corrupt guy. He leads you by the incorruptible. See, and this is why you need to come to the place. One of the things that I learned to do, and as I start off, Kenneth Hagin used to say it, talk about it, and said about saying it, and I would say it all the time. I would say, I am a spirit being. That's what I am. I have a soul. I have a mind, will, and emotions, and I live in a body. But me, I'm a spirit man. That's what I am. You see, you want to do that. You want to keep it out in front. Because you can't talk about faith without the spirit man. You can't. The spirit man is where you believe. The heart is where you believe. That inward man, he's a man. The Bible says he's a man. You will always find this. You find people who die and they leave their body. When they leave their body, they still have form. Arms and legs and stuff like that. There's a real man in the inside. There's a man that lives in this body. There's a glorified man in this body has been born again with the nature and of the one who created him. And he's inside of here. And I'm going to tell you, on the inside, man, I'm going to tell you, Goliath had nothing on me. This boy on the inside is a bad boy and he's big. Hallelujah. He has faith in God. And faith in God works. He's been created to be a giant. That's what he's created to be. He's created to be big and powerful. That's what he's created. He's supposed to be like his creator. But see, when you focus on the outside becomes everything. It diminishes the man on the inside. He becomes smaller. Faith becomes a hard thing to do. I'm just trying to believe God. I don't try to believe God. It's my nature. The Bible said I'm a believer. It is my nature to believe God. It is totally, it would be unnatural for Ed Gibson not to believe. Totally unnatural. It's unnatural for me not to be. People say, well, I'm having a hard time believing. I don't have a hard time believing. Sometimes I have a hard time telling my head to shut up in my flesh, but I don't have a hard time believing. I don't believe that. I'm not one of these purposes. Well, I believe that's the Word of God. I'll tell you what, that is the Word of God. It's settled. It is the Word of God. And whenever God shows me something, I'm going to take it and I'm going to believe it. Because I can. I was created to believe, and so are you. Don't let them dumb words out of your mouth. Don't stop that stuff. You've got to quit talking that junk. The Bible calls you a believer. We don't see anywhere in Scripture any of Paul's letters where he called them unbelievers. They're believers. My God, he wrote to the church at Corinth. We'd say they were a bunch of backslidden buzzards. And he told them how they were believers. And he talked nice like these. You're children of God. Don't you know your temples are the Holy Ghost? Believing and God living in is just as natural. That's what you are. It's not some. I'm not trying to come in contact with the Holy Ghost. He done moved in. You know, I say my wife lives in my house. I'm not trying to come in contact with her. We live in the same house. Well, I'm looking for my wife. Trying to find her. Trying to find the presence of God. Where's it at? Did anybody see him? Maybe he's hiding in one of the drawers. Let's go look. That's the church way. Write books about it. Trying to find God. My God, he'll run you over if you believe on him once. You know, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is absolutely wonderful. You know, my Christian walk, I gave him lots of reasons to leave, but he never has. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. He always stays there to help me. Hallelujah. God done moved in. See, you got to get thinking. This is the place of faith that's in that inner man. Get yourself thinking. Think of yourself in the dynamics of what you really are. Quit trying to become what you are. Stop it. Start declaring what you are. Get it on your voice. Start to say it. Hallelujah. I mean, Paul writes to the church, says, you're more than conquerors. I thought it great if he called me a conqueror, but he said, you guys are more than that. Well, I'll tell you, I'm just having a hard time, and I'm just, you know, instead of staying up and saying, you know what, I'm a conqueror. This thing's coming against me. It can't stand. Because I got proof. Look at the Bible. The Bible says this can't overtake me. No temptation will overtake me that God won't provide a way out. The Bible says it. Glory to God. I don't care what the devil throws at me. I'm getting out of it. Hallelujah. God's going to see to it. He wrote it in a book, and if he don't, he's a liar. And if you can prove to be God's a liar, man, then he's the devil, and it don't matter what we do. Glory to God. So you need to become convinced about the book. That book is my, those promises are my substance to my faith. I stand on those. It don't matter. I don't have to see them happen. All's God, I have to find out is that God said it. And if God said it, he has to bring it to pass. Or he's a liar. Glory to God. My God don't lie. Hallelujah. I've done it, but he's never done it. He ain't ever lied. He's always true. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. I preach me happy today. Man, I'm convinced, man. I tell you, I'm convinced. And you got to come to that place where you're convinced that it's true. You got to come to the place you're convinced of what you are on the inside. Hallelujah. You're not trying to get by. You didn't get something less than some other believer got. Hallelujah. You got the new birth. You have in you the inner man that's been created in the image of the one that created you. Just think about that. That's the image. And that knowledge that he gives you is in the same light as the one that created you. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Can you understand why James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, gives it liberally? My. He does. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter that you messed up. Don't condemn your own heart. If you got into something in the flesh, well, then just go tell God you messed up in the flesh. But don't go tell him, well, my heart ain't right. When your heart's right, it's a wrong head and a wrong flesh that you followed. But deal with it. See, so many times Christians are criticizing themselves. They're criticizing the creation that God made them. They don't approach God based on who and what they really are. That's why I can come boldly to the throne of grace at any time. Whether I miss it or I don't miss it, I can come boldly. Hallelujah. Because God and I are the same nature. We're the same nature. Hallelujah. Some people say, who do you think you are? It doesn't matter. It's what God made me. It doesn't matter what I think about it. I don't have to explain it to some unbelieving preacher to make him feel better. Amen. It's what God made us. It's what you are. You can come, you know, Jesus, like Jesus said, just think about those disciples. Jesus said, up until now, he said, you've asked nothing in my name. Now, what's going to happen? Jesus is going to die and be raised from the dead. This what's going to happen is these guys are going to get the new birth. They're going to get the new birth. And he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Oh, my God. Now, religion does this. Yeah, but... And the religion will always add at least two paragraphs to what Jesus said to fit their religious beliefs. But Jesus didn't say that. Why did Jesus say that to this table? Because the inner man that can produce things is made after the knowledge of the one who created him. And that inner man is going to ask for something good that God wants to do. That inner man wants to hook up with what God wants. And he said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, why? Because you're created just like him. That's why we have fellowship with God. We're like beings. We are like beings. We are like beings. It says in scriptures, and which is actual mistranslation, it says man. Who is man? It said made him a little lower than the angels. That's actually a wrong translation. That word there is not the word for messenger or angel. It's the word Elohim. It's the word God. We were created a little lower than God. Angels were created lower than us. They, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, they are ministering spirits to minister for the heirs of salvation. If they were above us, we would be serving them. They are not. We are the ones that are like Elohim, who is called God. That's what it's translated in other places. But I'm sure that when the translators looked down through there, they had their nice religious belief and they said, oh, God couldn't have said that. No, let's put angel down there. That's too good to put on there for man. No, I want to tell you, God wants to know. He looked at you and he said, I created you a little lower than Elohim, than I am. Whew. My God. Woo! See, you could always take a running spell on that. I'll tell you what. You get that, that's good news. And that's what God made you. That's what God made you. The Creator made you like He is. Wow. See, why would He do it? I don't know. I'm just going to accept it. You know, if you came up to me today and said, I'm going to give you $1 million, I would say, well, how are you going to do that? I'd say, send it on over. Religious people would ask, how's that going to happen? How are you going to do it? Explain to me when this is going to happen. That's what they'd mean. Say, no, yeah, but I wouldn't doubt God told you to do it. Send it on over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Father, I just want to thank you today. God, you're so phenomenal. You are so incredible. Lord God, there is nothing like you. What on earth could we compare you to? The scripture says, you know, we go up to the heavens and whatever we look at, there's nothing to compare. You can't compare it to anything in your creation. Your creation's great, but it's nothing compared to you. It's nothing compared to you. Lord God, we look across the universe and men look and there's no end to it. There's no end to this thing. Lord God, there's things out there of light that, Lord God, could have burned out billions of years ago. But Lord God, that light particles are still coming across the universe. and we see them over here, but yet it's nothing compared to you. Lord God, you were here before those particles ever crossed. You were there, you always were, and you always will be. And Lord God, the thought, just the thought that this magnificent, this wonderful and glorious God created us in his image. Oh, Lord God. Lord, you, Lord, when I think we were born again in your image and in line with your, the knowledge, we get the knowledge of the Creator. Adam had nothing. Adam had a good. Oh, my God, for what you did to us. What you did to us is absolutely phenomenal. Lord God, thank you. Sort of just it seems to be a little shallow. What can Lord, I don't know there's any words in the natural that could show the gratitude that needs to be shown. You're incredible. And you are our Father. Jesus, you said when you left the earth, you said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. For 2,000 years, you've been working on that place for us. My words, we think it's something somebody builds a $1 million home, but you've been working for 2,000 years getting things ready for us. Oh, my. Hallelujah. And I know why you've been doing it, because we've been created after your image and with your knowledge. You ain't got nothing but the best for yours. You wouldn't hand us anything less than you would do yourself. You're incredible. You're incredible. Lord, how little it is to think that you would heal our bodies. All that you had done, and man says, oh, sometimes you don't want to heal. Lord God, oh, it's like handing somebody $1 million and say, I won't give you a dime. Lord, it's so crazy. Surely you took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Surely you have done it in Jesus Christ. Surely, Lord God. Lord, I just want to thank you that you did redeem us from the curse of the law. Lord, that great weight that was on man's inability to perform, Lord God, through Jesus Christ, you lifted it off of us and set us free and made us like you are. Hallelujah. Oh, my words. The glory, the glory, the glory. Oh, Lord God, and we're just seeing into it in glimpses, and it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Just look at it in the glimpses that you have for us. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, I'm just so glad here today. It doesn't matter, Lord God. Maybe we missed it. Maybe we didn't do things we should have done. Maybe we don't. But Lord God, your grace that you bought us through Jesus Christ, where sin abounds, you said grace does much more abound. Grace is greater than all of our stupidity and ignorance. Lord, all the times that we let the flesh dominate. But Lord God, you didn't quit on us. The Holy Ghost didn't move out of town and go someplace else. He stayed. He stayed and kept wooing us to walk and to follow. How great you are. Hallelujah. And you said something so ridiculous, Lord, that if we just confess or admit what we did, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord God, it's absolutely phenomenal. Lord, you didn't tell us to come and beg. You didn't tell us to do penance and 10 Hail Marys or whatever else. Lord God, you said if we just admitted what we did was wrong, you'd forgive us and cleanse us. Hallelujah. Oh, by the great blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all unrighteousness and all sin. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, you didn't say go through a ritual. You said come by faith. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, today we just receive that forgiveness, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We receive that blood that cleanses us from every, Lord God, thing, and we've blown it or done, Lord God, the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ that allows us to stand in your presence, Lord God, as if we have never sinned or ever have done anything wrong. Hallelujah. In that place where our faith works powerfully, Lord God, that whatever we ask the Father, whatever we ask you in the name of Jesus, oh, you're more than glad to do it. Hallelujah. To carry it out and bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Lord God, and your word says, and John wrote, and John walked with the Savior, and he said, Lord God, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petition we requested of him. Hallelujah, Lord God, if your word said it, we can have it. Hallelujah. It's ours in the name of Jesus. Glory. Lord, that's our confidence. You'll always hear us. Hallelujah. Because Lord God will come with you according to your will, according to your word. Hallelujah. And the Father will say, yep, I'm doing it for them. Hallelujah. I'm carrying it out. It will be done. They will see it with their eyes. It will show up. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, as we part out here today, Lord God, we're children of God leading this place. We're not just some Christians trying to get by. Lord God, these are people made in the image of the glorious God that created them. And Lord God, they're spirit beings. Hallelujah. Full of might and power of God. Lord God, full of the life of God. Lord God, I want to thank you in them. Lord God, eternal life is working mightily in them today. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in them, Lord God, quickening and making alive their bodies and their minds in the name of Jesus. I thank you their minds are being renewed and restored. Hallelujah. Everything that has stood in the way, Lord God, thoughts and things, Lord God, are being broken down today in the name of Jesus that have held, Lord God, the pure thinking and right thinking, and Lord God, good thinking's coming forth that brings glory to Jesus Christ, that causes the glory of God to come into manifestation in the earth. Father, these are people of faith. Hallelujah. That's what they are. These are believers. They're not trying to believe. They are believers. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Lord God, the word in their hearts, spoken from their mouths, will come to pass and reveal the glory of God, and we thank you for it, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to say this before we go. I'm a spirit.
I'm a spirit
being.
I'm a spirit man.
I have a soul.
I have
mind, will, and emotions. And I live in a body. My body's a tent. It's temporary. Hallelujah. It's kept alive. By the life in me. For the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is making my body alive. Body, you will obey the inner man. You will obey me. When I tell you what to do, you'll shut up and obey. Mind, you will be renewed. The Word of God will dawn on my mind and my thinking. It will come up out of my spirit by the great teacher, the Holy Spirit. And my mind will be renewed. I will think God's thoughts. I will walk after God's thoughts. And I will produce God's thoughts. My mind is fruitful, just as my spirit's fruitful. They join together, the inner man and the mind, and make the body obedient. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, learn to talk and to say things. Get yourself over into these things. Talk like this to yourself. Because you know, your flesh is going to dominate, and you know, the devil's going to come along and say, well, see, you're messed up. That really don't work for you. Immediately go over in your voice to these things. I'm a spirit being. Hallelujah. My body, it might seem like your body's dominating you. Don't join in it with your voice. Amen. They say, no, the inner man, the real me, the one that's created after the knowledge of the one who created him. That's what's dominating. That's what's ruling. My body ain't got body. You're just going to have to come in line with this. You don't have a choice. Keep that on your voice. I'll tell you, it'll become so real to you that inner man will get to be able to turn loose and produce in you what you've been wanting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know what? That's what God's been wanting. He's been wanting your inner man to be able to produce what it wants to produce. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to have to tear down and praise God. Preach me happy, and I'm glad I did. I needed that sermon. I tell you what. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord bless you. Have an absolutely glorious week.